But others sneered and said, they are filled with new wine. And from what we read in that lovely passage of Acts, they sure looked drunk. They sounded drunk, and from all events, they acted drunk. But bless them, our dear Apostle Peter denied it. He said, we are not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. He obviously hadn't been to Dunedin in some quarters, but he said it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. So which was it? Were they as sober as Peter said, or were they filled with the new wine? And I guess the answer is yes and yes. They were not drunk on alcohol, but they were intoxicated on something. They were sober to the world's influence, but filled with the new spiritual wine. And this is the gift and the paradox of this wonderful day that we call Pentecost. Hands up, because we've done this before today, so I know it's something you do here. Hands up those who watched the royal wedding last night. Well, that's great. Even some blokes put their hand up, some of them like there, but such was the importance of that event in our household that we forewent watching the Highlanders game. And not that that apparently was anything to worry about. But Sharon had the remote, and again, that's something quite different in our household. I knew we were serious when she had the remotes. And she said, I'm just going to flick between the wedding and the rugby. And that lasted for a couple of scrums, and we were on to the wedding the whole time. We were captivated by the thing. A wonderful event, a spectacle of pageantry and glamour and excitement. Now, I'm old enough to remember several royal weddings. I was there watching Prince Charles and Diana in our home in Chertsey in 1981. Now, this was a really, really special royal wedding because I was able to convince my new wife at the time that we needed a colour television, because you could not watch a royal wedding on a black and white television back in 1981. Of course, it was handy after that to watch cricket and rugby. There was William and Kate's wedding in 2011, and then last night. And all of them, I kept thinking, had that wonderful and that sort of allure, that capture of people being excited. And that's what it is. What was it about that that made me watch it right through until 12:30 this morning? It was something about seeing people excited about why they were there. They were lost in that moment. And you could see sports stars and film stars and politicians looking up in awe of the surroundings of that chapel. They were in awe of the beauty of the singing and you know, that young 18 or 19 year old cellist and that wonderful chapel choir, all of those things that were going on. And then the power of that sermon. The power of the sermon from Bishop Michael Bruce Curry, the head of the Anglican Church in America. Wow. And he, like me, had a laptop. Unlike me, he actually never looked at it. And I'm sure the laptop said, don't talk too long. But he ignored it. What a wonderful sermon. Now, if you haven't seen it, please go back. Find it. It'll be on YouTube. If you do nothing else today, have a look at that sermon and just look at a man, Afro-American priest, full of the Holy Spirit, leader of his church, preaching about love and preaching about God's power and preaching about what we could do as a world if we packaged love like we packaged fire and spread that around. Marvellous. Be the last time they ever invite a non-Englishman to actually give a sermon at a royal wedding. But man, for those of us who have had that experience of listening to him, what a wonderful, wonderful record he's got. And then there were those who were outside the church, outside the formal part of that service, standing in the sun And again, those people were excited in a slightly different way. They stood in their casual clothes, they waved their flags, they cheered, and they, you know, they took photographs. And again, they, to an alien who was looking down on that, would have looked drunk. And like our Peter and his colleagues, it was 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock in the morning. So I want to ask you another question. No hands this time. But ask you a question. What are you drunk on this morning? What are you excited about? What's powering and firing you in your life? In my previous life within the regional council and many other senior executive jobs, which apparently I was successful at, I was previously drunk on success, and I was working really, really hard to deliver the things that my constituency, my funders, my bosses expected of me, both in my secular life and, to be quite honest, in the service that I did through my church life. I was drunk on busyness, and I was drunk on exhaustion, and that was what real men did, got tired. I was intoxicated with the self-importance of that and the need to prove myself. I was drunk on fear, intoxicated by self-doubt and self-criticism that I was never good enough to do the job that I should do. So let me ask you again, what are you drunk on this morning? What intoxicates your life after you've been here? What is your drink of choice? Because it's really, really hard to avoid being caught up in a worldview of success, in a worldview of what's normal and what is expected of us. I see the incredible pressure that my beautiful 16-year-old daughter is under at school. Constant evaluation, constant testing. I see young and old people alike doing full-time work with most of their work, a wage going to pay the rent. And I see other people with 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 rental homes charging as much as they can, not as much as they need. I see staff who work for ratepayer organisations being exposed to awful abusive feedback from the constituents, and their governors, the council, is doing nothing to stop it. And that is the intoxication. That is the world that poison and distorts our lives. It causes us to stumble and fall. It blurs our vision to the holiness and beauty of who we really are and who we should and could become. It's the self-betrayal by which we do the very opposite of everything we say we want to do. It's that pressure, it's that world expectation that robs us of genuine prayer time, that robs us of a genuine opportunity to serve our brothers and sisters, both inside and outside of the church, with the love that we should. And I don't think any of us really want to live that way. It's not God's intention or his desire for our lives. It's not the life that Christ lived or the one that he offers us to live. We need sobriety from that expectation of our world for the things that get in the way of us and our relationship with our Lord. And Pentecost to me is the sobriety that frees us from the intoxication to the world's expectation. It's the power of God to change and transform our lives and through us the lives of others. And this sobriety does not mean we stop working or studying or doing the things within commerce that we do, but it means we drink a new wine within that. It means we take stock of who we are, we take stock of what we're doing in our lives, we look at our behaviours, How do we relate to those people we interact with on a daily basis? Do we love our neighbour as we love ourselves? We take stock of how we allocate our time to our families and our friends and our communities, and most importantly, to God. At Pentecost, a new spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, fills and intoxicates us. We are intoxicated by God's love, God's mercy, God's grace, God's generosity, God's beauty, and when it all goes to custard, God's support. Think about the day for those who have. Think about the day that you fell in love. Now, it may not have gone anywhere, or it may have developed and lasted for many, many years. Regardless, that day that you fell in love was a day, I think, if it was anything like me, of sober drunkenness. You were completely sober, I trust. Your mind was clear and convinced. Your eyes were focused. Your intentions were strong. At the same time, though, you were completely swept off your feet. Crazy in love. You knew that this was it. You wanted more of it. And you couldn't even name what it was. Remember those times? Might be still there. Hope you are. Strange feeling. Strange feeling. And especially if, like I have, fallen in love again when I'm a lot more mature than I was the first time, you sort of say to yourself, this shouldn't be happening to an old fella like me. But it just does. And that, to me, is that moment of Pentecost. The power of God filling and changing each and every one of us. Now you might say, well, it's just emotions and feelings and hormones. Maybe so, but that's not all of it. If you were like me, you would have felt the moment, what it was like to lose yourself and find something else, something hard to explain. Filled with a spirit that was not your own, one that you did not create, one that you could not control. You were inflamed with the love of God. That is the Pentecost that we talk about today. That is the Pentecost that happened to those people who stood around the 120 or so followers of Christ, covered in that feeling of change and power. Second example, have you ever received a gift that caught you so completely by surprise that you were left speechless? The gift that's completely undeserved, unexpected, and unimaginable. You had one of those? 2 years ago, on the anniversary of my first wife's death, my new daughter came to me with a gift, and it was a chocolate bar with the words piped on it, love you heaps. What Sarah did for me that day was a moment of Pentecost. Now, I didn't have a drama of rushing wind or tongues of fire, no foreign languages. It was a wonderful act of care and concern from a tremendous young woman from her new dad to a new dad. She knew I was hurting. She'd never known my first wife. Completely on her own. Wasn't a mother doing that. Now, you don't get a body like mine by not eating chocolate. But this one's never been eaten. And it sits in our china cabinet, and I see it often, and it reminds me of that wonderful act of kindness. And I know that it was God in behind making that happen. And this kind of stuff, these kinds of acts of kindness that we can receive and give, are happening all the time. And they can fill us. So Pentecost is not just an historical event, not just something that happened way back then to a whole heap of people that we don't know the names of. It happens to us, and it can happen right now. It's the grace that fills us, and it's the grace of God that fills us with that power that we celebrate today. And we can celebrate it every hour of our day if we look for it and receive it. And the Spirit of God is continually being poured into our lives, bringing us to sobriety of a new life and inebriating us with that new wine in Christ's life. Pentecost is a gift and a grace to be lived, lived under the influence of God's love for us. And it's about sitting and receiving that power. It's about allowing the time for God to minister to us through the wonderful acts of others. And in the busyness of our lives, too often we miss that time. So, go back to the question that I asked right at the beginning about what are you drunk on this morning? What are those moments in your life of sober drunkenness? What is filling you from God? Where is Pentecost happening for you? The sober drunkenness of Pentecost fills our lives to the brim with love. It opens our eyes to the mystery of God and the wonder and the beauty of life. It softens our heart. And there are many times when our hearts need softening. It calls us to find ourselves in the lives of others. It's about service. It allows us to stand in the most holy place of our truest and most authentic self. Allows us to be real. It gives us permission to challenge the norms of society. It allows us to cry out that all's not well in our hedonistic, self-serving, me-first world. The power of the Holy Spirit to minister to us is real and available. It is ours for the taking. It is the perfect gift from God. And that's why we celebrate this feast of Pentecost. We come here today to be reminded and to give thanks for the Pentecostal reality in our lives. We come to get sober to our past and to drink the new wine of our future and to be sent out to live under its influence. Bless you all. Amen.